You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Good morning, good morning. God is good all the time. Lyle Schaller, who is a church growth guy, he said years ago that for every 100 people in a church, there should be enough vocalists and instrumentalists to form a worship team. And so that means that in this church, we should have like 15 worship teams. And the truth is, the reason I say that is because we don't. And partially that's because you, as a congregation, those of you who have some music skills, some vocal skills, you're hiding. And perhaps there is a gifting that's inside of you that needs to be developed. Maybe you feel like I'm not ready. You need to grow further. You need to go further. And you're thinking, man, you look on the stage and you look at guys like Alfred and the way that he could play guitar or some of the other incredible instrumentalists that are up here. And you just go, I could never do that. And I would just want to say that is the totally wrong way to think about your gifting in the house of God. And so if you have a gift, then you need to offer it and you need to be a part of growing within it. And so if you'd like to be a part of the worship team or explore that or learn how to grow in your gifting, I want to encourage you to go out to the table there in the lobby that says worship on the top. They've got a way for you to plug in and express interest, and you can let your light shine and you can grow in your gifting. I'm going to start a new series this morning talking about taking territory. And so I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible right now or on your device to Joshua chapter 1. And in just a moment, I'm going to sort of set up the series and talk to you about what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. But just turn to Joshua chapter 1 and kind of stick your thumb in there or just hold that spot on your device as you get there. We are moving into the season of Lent, of course, 40 days of prayer. It's a traditional time that the church has set apart for the last 2,000 years of essentially preparing ourselves to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. It's 6 weeks that is a time traditionally used to restrict ourselves or to fast in some ways to make room to pursue the Lord. And I just want to invite you into that. That officially starts Wednesday, of course. If you're afraid you're going to forget, that's Valentine's Day. It happens to fall on Valentine's Day. So if you're fasting, maybe you need to celebrate Valentine's Day on Tuesday. I don't know. But on Wednesday, the official 40 days of Lent begins. And we want to invite you to be a part of that. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Great Room now has sound. So if you do have little ones and you got shoved into here and you're normally in the Great Room and you want to escape because your little ones are making noise, you can go into the Great Room if you want to do that because the sound is back, thanks to our awesome production teams. Thank you, tech guys, for doing that. So for Lent, if you haven't grabbed a devotional, we have devotionals out there. These are $10 a piece, beautiful devotional. Every day for the 40 days, it'll lead you through a time of reflection and prayer, learning about Lent. But essentially, whether you get this devotional or not, I want to invite you in this next 6 weeks, really to set some time aside to seek the Lord. The reason you fast during Lent is because it means basically you're removing something from your life that you traditionally rely on as a normal part of your routine. And as soon as you remove something from your life that is a normal part of your routine, every time you come to that thing that you normally do, you're reminded, dang it, I want to eat, or dang it, I want to do that. And that is a reminder then to pursue the Lord in that moment. And so that might be food, that might be an activity, that might be something in your schedule. It could be lots of different ways that you could fast, but I want to encourage you, take some time intentionally over these next 6 weeks to pursue the Lord. My wife and I, weekly, we're going to set time aside with our kids to seek the Lord. Daily, we're going to be pursuing Him during the season. And I think as we do that, then the Lord really will take us to another level. I want to say thank you to Pastor Chad. If you're here last week, Pastor Chad taught. He did an excellent job, as he always does. I asked my kids, because I always want to know what my kids think. Not because I really care about it, but I just because I want them to think that I care about it. No, I do care about it. And so I asked my son, one of my sons, and he said, about how Pastor Chad did. He said, you did all right. And then I asked my daughter, and my daughter said, he was fire last week. And there's no doubt that we have such a gifted staff. And I just want to say thanks to Pastor Chad for carrying the torch last week. My wife and I were in Virginia Beach We spoke at a church there, and then we were part of a marriage retreat of other pastors. And so I've got a picture here, I think, of the couples that were part of the marriage retreat. About 30 couples representing 15 different churches, pastors in leadership over those churches. So their marriages really represent many hundreds of people that they lead. And Karen and I got to do one session and also be a part of that. And it's just an honor to be able to speak to leaders. Every once in a while, the pastors have to be pastored, right? Ministers have to be ministered to. And so we got to do that with them and be a part, and just a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God in that way. And it's a blessing to be part of a church that just continues even when we're not here, because we know it's bigger than just one person. So thank God for that. Okay. I do want to invite you into the 40 days of prayer, prayer times, right? So the whole purpose is we're pursuing the Lord. And we have a prayer meeting that happens on Friday mornings here in this room every Friday at 6:30 a.m. And that's an incredible prayer meeting. I tell you what, I mean, it's an awesome prayer meeting. But I know that some of you don't believe in the Lord at 6:30 a.m. And so we're adding a prayer meeting, particularly during the Lent season, on Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Okay, and so Thursday evenings, beginning this Thursday, across the street in the Learning Center, there'll be an hour of prayer. And I just want to encourage you, mark that on your calendar, be a part of that, and so that we can pursue the Lord together in this season. All right, you're at Joshua chapter 1. If you're there, say yes. I appreciate you lying to me if you're not there. Joshua chapter 1, I just want to read with you verses 1 through 6. And it says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Would you say every place? As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you. Would you say no one? No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Now, the people of Israel were standing on this side of the Jordan, looking across at the physical territory that the Lord had given to them. And you know, it's called the Promised Land in the Old Testament. And the idea is that God had for his people an inheritance. He had for them a territory for them to possess. It was a beautiful land. It was a beautiful territory. It was a wonderful inheritance that God had decided to give to them. But here at the beginning of Joshua, there is a moment when the Lord says to Joshua and to the people, it's time for you actually to go into your inheritance. It's time for you to actually cross the Jordan and go into the promised land that I have for you. And the thing that I want you to see there is that this is a season, as is always a season, but this particularly is a season for Koinonia Church and for every individual in Koinonia Church to actually step across the Jordan River and move into the territory that God has for you. See, there's a thing that God has some great things that he desires to give to you. He has some incredible inheritance that he wants you to live in, some promised land that he has set aside for every one of us that are here today. But there comes a time that it's nice to think about the promised land, but you actually have to, if you want to live in it, you have to go into it. You can have an inheritance, but never experience the inheritance. You can have a promised land. God wants to do good things in your life, but the truth is, unless you actually step into it, you won't actually experience it. There comes a time when God says to us, it's time for you to actually step into new territory. It's time for you to actually take some steps forward. It's time for you to actually understand that something is required of us if we are going to experience the things that God has for us. He has some things for you, but now something is required of you in order to experience it. There is for you, according to what the scripture says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want that. I want that in my family. I want that in my life. I want that to be characteristic of every day that I live. But in order for me to experience righteousness, peace, and joy, you better believe I got to fight for it. You better believe there have been many moments in my family when that has been fought against by the enemy. Because everything that God has for you is going to be contested by the enemy. There is, in fact, an enemy that is pressing against all the things that God has for you. God wants you to live in peace. The enemy wants you to live in confusion. God has for you goodness and mercy all the days of your life, but the enemy wants to pursue you and harass you and create strife in your life and make it so that you're miserable every day of your life. How do you get it? You got to fight for it. You got to stand and say, I'm not going to give in to you, enemy. By the power of God, he has made me an overcomer. He's made me the head and not the tail. I am a victor. I'm not going to live in defeat. I'm actually going to live in victory today. Something is required of us if we're going to experience the thing that God has already said is true of us, that he has for us. And so just over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about taking territory, that God has for you in your life something that perhaps you have not yet experienced. He has a promised land for you. There's a further step for you to take. There's more territory for you to grab a hold of, but it requires a people who are responsive to him, who are actually going to do something about it, who are no longer just going to sit and say, I wish, God, you would do something. No. He said, I already did it. It's time for you to step into it. I've already got it for you. I've already made a way for you. I've given you the promise. Every place you put your foot, that's your territory. No one can stand against you, but he needs a people who will actually be responsive to him. He needs a people who actually step into his territory. And so I want to talk to you this morning about one of the critical pathways of taking territory in your life, and that is prayer. The critical component, the secret sauce of your spiritual life, the secret sauce of you being able to take territory begins with prayer. Now, I think this is in many ways very counterintuitive to our natural thinking, because it seems like prayer, it doesn't really do much, right? It seems like, especially if we have the wrong concept of prayer, it just feels like it's a bunch of words that we're saying. But I want you to know that as the people of God, the greatest weapon that we have is prayer. The greatest tool that we have that will actually open the doorway to the goodness of God flowing in our life begins with prayer. And something has to shift inside of our hearts and inside of our minds to embrace this thing that is called prayer. Because if we are going to see the goodness of God here in the land of the living, if you're going to see the fullness of the territory that God has for you that he wants to give to you, if you're going to see peace and joy and righteousness in your household and on your life, you're going to have to grab a hold of it, and it begins with prayer. Now, this place, Koinonia Church, is called to be a house of prayer. Jesus said, let my house be a house of prayer. And the question I want to begin with this morning is that every house has a smell to it. Every house has a certain aroma and a certain scent. Have you noticed that some people's houses, when you walk into them, they smell like wet cat? Other houses, they smell like pine saw, right? Some houses, you go into them and they smell like fabuloso, right? You're like, I know who cleans this house. I know where they got that product from, right? There's an aroma to every house. The truth is there is, in fact, an aroma to every church as well. And it's very important for us to understand that our calling as a church, not only as individuals, but corporately together, that we're actually building a house that has a certain smell to it. We're building a house that has a certain aroma to it. When people come into this place, we want them to smell something. We want them to catch the fact that there is a God who is alive, that is moving. There's a God who breaks down the impossibilities that are before us. He moves mountains. He heals bodies. He restores marriages. He heals people. And he makes things come to pass that were just seemed totally impossible before. Why? Because he is a God of the impossible. Now, that sense within this place is only going to happen if we are a house of prayer. Because prayer is the thing that moves forward the purposes of God on the earth. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, how do we pray, Jesus? He said, start in this way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, if we're going to see the purposes of God in our lives, in our church, in our families, in this community, there has to be a partnership with heaven where we say, God, would you let your kingdom come into this place? For every sphere of influence that we have, for every place that we put our foot, Lord, we're asking right now that your kingdom would come here in this place, that your will would be done here in this place. Everything begins with prayer when it comes to our spiritual life. My question for you is, what is the aroma of your house? What is the aroma, spiritually speaking, of this house? We have to have an aroma that smells wonderful to the Father. And it begins with us being a house of prayer. So I've got a quick outline I'm going to go through with you. If you want to follow along in your notes, you can do that. I'm going to move quickly because of our time. But I want to inspire you this morning because I believe that the Lord is actually, and Candace even said it during transition. She also said something like, have you ever heard the Lord say to you, baby girl? And I just have never had that experience. So it didn't seem like that was for me, but maybe it was for you. But she said also, I feel like the Lord is setting some people apart. There's some people that are standing up. There's some people that are saying, I'm stepping into the thing, and I'm actually pushing a little bit further. That's what this is about this morning, what I'm talking to you about. This is about a people who would actually grab a hold of this truth. And you may be a novice in your faith, spiritually speaking, or you may be a mature Christian. All of us, no matter where we are on the spectrum, it's time for us to take a hold of this thing called prayer and go a little bit deeper. This next 6 weeks of 40 days of prayer is not just a nice season on the Christian calendar, on the church calendar that we do. This is actually a season of taking territory, and it's time for the people of God to take their place in the line and to begin to fight for the territory that God has for them. So let me just look at your notes there. A house of prayer is this, number one. A house of prayer is a place or a church that prays together. Psalms 141 verse 2 says, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. In another translation, it says it like this, treat my prayer as sweet incense rising. My raised hands are my evening prayers. See, your prayers have a smell to them. Your prayers are like offerings that are going up to heaven. I believe that when we gather together, every time we gather together with the people of God, there's something that arises up to heaven, and there's something that happens in heaven where God says, what's going on down there? And depending on what our prayers smell like, I think God is responsive or he's not. And I think many times our prayers are not particularly moving to God. Maybe our prayers smell like panic. Our prayers smell like fear. Our prayers smell like, oh, God, save me. And that's the only time we ever pray is when we're in a moment of panic, because we haven't learned that there's actually a continual and a daily sacrifice of prayer that God is looking for. He's looking for a people who will partner with him day by day by day. He's looking for people who will understand that this is a relationship that he has invited us into. See, prayer is not just something that we do of repeating empty words over and over again. We're actually in relationship with our Father in heaven, inviting him to do things every single day in our life. And it's time for us to grab a hold of that and understand that we are the ones that determine what our prayers smell like. We are the ones that determine what our house, what the aroma of our house is. And I'm determined that this house will smell like prayer. I told my wife the other day, I was like, I don't know that I'm very good at it. I don't know if I understand prayer, but I am convinced that if Koinonia Church does not smell like prayer, we're missing something. And so we're going to become a house of prayer. A house of prayer, number two, is a house where prayer is essential. It's not optional. It's not something that we just do because it's nice. You know, I think sometimes it's funny how we always pray before meals. And I don't understand totally why we do that, because it becomes so empty. It's just like, what are we blessing the food for? I mean, why does the food need a blessing? I mean, let's pray that God would actually show up today in our lives. Let's actually meet him in this moment right now. And instead, we just kind of do this repetitious thing, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God, now let's eat, everybody pig out. Something is missing when our understanding of prayer is that we're just doing like sort of like this magic little thing that we repeat the words as if it's powerful. The reality is prayer is essential. It's the key to all that God wants to do in the church and in our lives. It's the way that spiritual history is written is through prayer. By the way, if this outline is any good, it's because it comes from Pastor Frank DiMaggio. I'm stealing all of his material, and it preaches. It's just like it oozes off the pages, all right? So it's not me. It's the material. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. Prayer pulls the rope below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some barely stir the bell, for they pray so lazily. Others give but an occasional pluck to the rope. But he who wins with heaven is the man or the woman who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all their might. God is looking for a people who would not just every once in a while pluck at the rope, every once in a while throw up a prayer, every once in a while think, okay, it might be a good time. He's looking for a people who would grab a hold of the rope of heaven and say, I'm not letting go because God has purposes that he wants to do in my life and in my family's life and in this community, and I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to press for the things that he has until they come to pass. It's time for us to take some territory. It's time for you to take some territory in your family. It's time for you to grab a hold of the things that God has for you and to not let go. Number three, a house of prayer is a house with all types of prayer. I just want to give you just very quickly a couple of types of prayer. Next week, Pastor Candace is going to continue this theme and go even deeper. But I want to give you three types of prayer that are important for us, that we need to know about prayer. For some, this might be a review for you. This might be a new thing for you. But wherever you're at, I hope that it will be inspiring to you, because many times we are so boring in our prayers that it's no wonder that God doesn't really seem to move in our lives, because all we do is repeat the little phrases over and over again. Now I lay me down to sleep, praying the Lord my soul to keep. Now, listen, I think that's a great prayer. But if that's all you got in your arsenal of prayer, there's something wrong. It's time for us to move beyond the basic things and move into the area of prayer. So how do you pray? Well, one of the ways that you pray is you pray, first of all, with this thing called supplication. Supplication is a Bible word. It's a word that we don't use very often today, but it's a very specific word. This is what it means. I have the definition on the screen here. It says, supplication is a prayer of need and a prayer of request with specific petitions. I was talking to my son just actually yesterday about how very often we are so general in our prayers, and it's time for us to get more specific in our prayers. Many times we're so general in our prayers that if God answers the prayer, it's so general we don't even realize that he answered the prayer. It's because we were just so like, oh God, would you help us? And then something, we kind of got through it. Well, I think God helped us. I don't really know if he... It's time for us to actually get a little bit more detailed in our requests and in our specificity, because then you go, yes, I see. That is exactly what I prayed for, and I see that God answered that, and that's the only answer for that, is that a God in heaven could actually do that thing that's impossible for man. Supplication is being specific in your petition. It's a steadfast, continuous, unceasing prayer that refuses to let go. So not only is it a specific request, it's a continuous request. It's a persevering request. And this is the thing that so often we miss when it comes to prayer, is that we'll pray one time, two times, maybe three times, and then we get bored and we give up because we figure God's not hearing us, or maybe we're praying the wrong thing, and we just stop praying the prayer. And God is actually looking for people who will continually and persistently knock on the door of heaven. They will fight until they get the territory that he actually has for them. As a people, it's time for us to get some backbone and to begin to push a little bit harder and keep on asking God to move in our lives. Prayer, as at its root, is asking God to move. Now listen, I think sometimes we take prayer as the idea of God, the great vending machine, and we ask him for whatever we want, and we're hoping that he gives us what we want. And that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is that, number one, if you don't ask, that's what the scripture says, you ain't going to receive anything, right? And so closed mouths don't get fed. It's time for us to open our mouths and ask God for what we need. The other piece to that, the secret to that sauce, is understanding that you need to pray in according to the will of God. And so there is some things that we know according to scripture that he wants to do in our life. He wants to set us free from our addictions. He wants to move in our lives. He wants his presence and his peace to characterize who we are. Those are all things that we can ask for in total confidence, knowing that it's the will of God. On the other hand, if all you ask for is $1 million, you could ask every day. Maybe you'll wear him out. Maybe he'll just give it to you. But the reality is you're asking according to your own motives. We miss it if we're asking according to our motives. When we pray according to what God wants, boy, now you've got some power. Suddenly you've got a nuclear force that's behind your prayers because you are praying in accordance with, according to the will of God. Luke 18 says this. This is what Jesus is speaking to his disciples about, this idea of supplication, of continual prayer. He tells them a parable. This is Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Would you say, don't give up? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes it just feels like there's a delay. It feels like God's not answering. It feels like it's not happening. It feels like it's never going to happen. And we just give up. And I just want you to know, don't give up. Jesus says to his disciples, don't give up. Keep pressing. Keep moving forward. Keep asking, because there's something that's happening in the invisible realm that many times we are not aware of and we don't see. But just because we don't see it doesn't mean that your prayers are not being heard. It doesn't mean that God's not working. As a matter of fact, God is working. We can be totally confident of that. Sometimes we wonder, God, are you hearing me? We wonder about the delays. Have you ever experienced a delay in prayer being answered? It's like, wow, it feels like I've been praying this for a long time. God, will you ever answer my prayer? There's a wonderful story in the book of Daniel when Daniel begins to pray for God to move. And it's almost like the curtain gets opened and we see a little bit of what happens in heaven when the people of God begin to pray. Daniel's actually visited by an angel, and the angel says to him this. I'm going to look at the verse with you, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. This is what the angel says to Daniel about his prayer. He says, don't fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, from the first day that you started praying, this is 21 days earlier that Daniel began to pray daily about this issue. He says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. And he actually begins to describe to Daniel that there's a war in heaven that's going on. That the moment that he began to pray, the angel was dispatched, but he actually had to have a battle in heaven because the enemy was opposed to the very thing that God wanted to do. And so the delay was actually a result of not God not answering, not God not hearing, but rather the fact that there needed to be something worked out. There needed to actually be something to be adjusted in the heavenlies in order for Daniel's prayer to be responded to, in order for that territory to be taken. There is a delay sometimes in our prayers being answered because sometimes something's happening in the heavenlies. Sometimes there's some things that need to be ordered and reordered. Sometimes there's actually separate parts of complex situations that God is working out and coming together. And the encouragement is, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't keep pulling on the bell of heaven and saying, God, would you move on my behalf? The first kind of prayer that I want to encourage you as a church to do is prayer of supplication. Some of us have dropped some prayer burdens that we need to pick up again. Some of us have given up on areas of victory in our life and in our family members, and we have released that thing that we should be carrying, and it's time for us to pick it back up again and say, God, I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm coming back to your throne once again. I'm coming in confidence because I know that you hear me. And Lord, I'm asking, this is me again. This is Andrew. I'm here again. God, would you move in my family? God, would you do something greater than what I've seen? God, would you break through in this area of my life? I'm not letting go, God, because I know it's what you have for me. It's time for his people to pray prayers of supplication. The second kind of prayer is praying with intercession. Would you say intercession? Intercession. This is what intercession is. To intercede is to mediate, to stand in or identify with. It is to make a petition on behalf of another, to stand in the gap and build a hedge around a person, family, business, church, school, state, or nation. An intercessor is one, I like this picture, one who holds on with one hand to the promises of God and holds on with the other hand to that person or that situation where the promises of God need to be applied, they need to be received, right? And sometimes we have to grab a hold of that family member that still hasn't come into the kingdom of God, that still hasn't experienced the fullness of the knowledge of God, and we hold on to them and we hold on to the promises of God and we declare the goodness of God in that situation, that Lord, you're still working, you're not letting go, I'm not letting go, and all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus, and I'm declaring them today, and I'm not going to let go in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel 22:30 says this, this is the Lord, and he's looking down, and he says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. There's that picture of a person that's standing in the gap for the territory. They've got in one hand that those promises of God, and the other hand, that area that they're praying for. And God says, I'm looking for a person who would stand in the gap that I should not destroy the land, but I found no one. And it's almost like God, if you read that section, it's like God is, he's almost like surprised. He's like, what is wrong with this situation? How could it be that there's no one to stand in the role of the intercessor to grab a hold of all the things that I have? And I just want to tell you this morning that you are called to be someone who stands in the gap. You are called to be a person who stands in the gap for your family, for your kids, for your life, for your workplace, for the territory that God has given you. You are called to be the kind of person that says, I'm not letting go of the good things that God has for you. I'm holding on to him, and I'm holding on to you, and you're going to come in whether you want to or not. And the situation is going to adjust whether it wants to or not, because every knee will bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he is the one ultimately that's in control. He is sovereign over all situations. But we as a people have to understand there are prayers that you have to pray that no one else will pray. See, there are people in your life that no one else is praying for. It's your job to stand in the gap for them. It's your job to hold on to them and to declare and claim the promises of God over their lives and over those situations. See, many times we think, God doesn't want to hear from me. I don't have any great prayers to pray. Hey, it's time to give that up, buddy. Get in the fight. It's time for you to understand that every man, woman, and child who is a follower of Christ has a job to do, has some prayers to pray. And there are prayers that you have to pray that no one else will pray. Don't let God stand up there and go, man, where is my intercessors? Where are my people? Why don't they cry out to me? I'm willing to give them an answer. I'm willing to move on their behalf. I'm willing to change their family. I'm willing to move. Oh, if we would just say, God, I'm here, and I'm grabbing a hold of what you have, and I'm not letting go. This is what Dick Eastman says. An intercessor is a man or a woman or a child who fights on behalf of others. As such, intercession is the activity that identifies us most with Christ. Christ is the ultimate intercessor. He's our mediator. He's the one that stands in the gap between us and God. And he paved the way for us. He held us, and he held the promises of God, and he allowed us to come into them. To be an intercessor is to be like Jesus, because that is what Jesus is like. He ever lives to intercede. All right, the third type of prayer, or at least the third thing about prayer I want to tell you this morning, is that we're to pray with authority. So there's supplication prayers that are continual, that are specific. There's intercession prayers where we're holding on to those situations, to those people, and we're mediating for God's goodness to come in. And there's this understanding that the people of God are to pray with authority. I want you to know that if you're a Christ follower today, you should not ever have the perspective of one who's just like wondering, God, will you hear my prayers? I mean, I think so many times we have this mentality like, oh, God, will you maybe have time for me? You know, can you please listen to me a little bit, Lord? No, I mean, we have such a poverty mindset when it comes to our position to the throne room of God. And I want you to know this morning, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter how long you have followed Christ, you have authority in the heavenlies, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done, right? It's because of who he is. It's because of his person. It's because of his position that he then has handed to you. So when we come into Christ, when we come into his life, we come into an inheritance of authority in the heavenlies. He actually won the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus says, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. And he gave the church, that is you, he gave you the keys. He gave you authority. See, keys open doors. Keys make things possible that are not possible. Keys actually open the way for God to move here on earth. And the Lord is looking for people who will use the keys that he's given them. You've got the keys. You've got the authority. You've got the things that you need, spiritually speaking. It's time for us to actually say, yes, Lord, here I am once again on praying on the behalf of the people that need to hear you. I'm coming in confidence today because I know that you hear my prayers. I'm coming in confidence today because Jesus Christ made a way. Because I can come into the throne room today and you're going to hear my prayers. Why? Because Jesus, my elder brother, has said, Lord, I have given the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know that you have authority on earth, that God responds when you open your mouth. It's time for you to begin to open your mouth. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two of you agree, then the Lord is going to move. Now, that's Jesus speaking. That's not just a nice idea. He's actually saying there's something powerful in a prayer of agreement. By the way, if you're married, husbands and wives, when you pray together, there is a power there that is not present with when just anybody prays together. There is a unity there that when you begin to agree in prayer for your household, over your kids, over the situations in your life, there is power together, which is why the enemy doesn't want you to pray together, which is why he tries to get you all kinds of distracted, all kinds of reasons why it doesn't work for you to pray together. Because when a man and a wife come together and they say, God, we hear what your word says and we're declaring it over our family, then heaven goes, that's a place that we're going to move. That's a place where the presence of God is going to dwell. That's a place where I'm going to bring healing and my presence and my peace into that situation because there's a prayer of agreement that's happening there. One more verse, Matthew 21, 22. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Now, the problem is that we don't believe it. The problem is that we think, well, maybe God will answer my little prayers. Maybe he'll answer my real basic prayers, right? Maybe, you know, but somehow we're always explaining away the very authority that God has given to his church. And it's time for us to step into this realm of authority, knowing that, you know what, enemy, yep, you can tell me all the truth about my past. Yes, it's true, I've failed, I've fumbled the ball, I've messed up. Yes, it's true, all those things that you're saying about me in the past, but there's something that's greater, there's a truth that's greater that I need to tell you, enemy. Jesus Christ has made a way. He's the one that has won the victory. He's the one that has the authority. He's the one that's actually moving on my behalf. And as a matter of fact, you're going to get thrown into the lake of fire. I know your end. Enemy, you might make some noise right now, but you're going to burn in the pit of hell forever. There is actually a God in the universe that has said something different is happening on the earth today when his people begin to cry out to heaven. God's looking for a people. He's looking for a church. He wants to make Koinonia Church a church that smells like prayer. A church that smells like heaven. A church that says, Lord, we're not going to be content with just a couple of nice songs. We're not going to be content with just a nice message. We're not going to be content with just a nice clean church that has nice chairs and everything. We're not going to be content with just colored lights and the LED walls. No, we're crying out for heaven to come down and to actually begin to move some things on earth. We're actually crying out for the prodigals to return back to the house of God. We're crying out that violence would be broken over this county in the name of Jesus. We're crying out that there's a new day that has arisen, that spiritual blindness is being pushed back in the name of Jesus. See, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And see, a church that says, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to give up, I'm determined to see all that God wants to do in this place, that's a church that God begins to respond to. That's a church where something shifts in the atmosphere. God is calling a people who will say, I'm going to step into new territory. I'm going to grab a hold of what he has for me. Listen, this prayer thing might be new for you. That's okay, it was new for all of us at one point. It's time for us to begin to open our mouth. There's a secret place that God has for you. There's a prayer closet that he has for you where he will show you great things, where you will learn how much he loves you and how powerful your prayers are. Would you stand to your feet? I just want to end the service. We've got a few moments. I want to end the service by praying together. Here we're talking about being a house of prayer. It seems like we probably should do it together. And so I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want you just to set in your heart right now that we're just going to reach out to the Lord even in this moment, that you would even just in, right now just begin to bless the Lord. Just begin to speak to him and tell him how great he is. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for the way that he's made a way where he is, there was no way, that he's actually given us tools to defeat and overcome the enemy, that he has actually ordered our steps. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're a great and mighty King and that no one stands before you, that your Lord, your purposes are actually moving forward in the earth today, that you, God, by your will, you're actually setting apart a people for yourself, that you, God, have determined that you're going to do some things in this place, in this church, and in our lives, that, Lord, you have for us goodness, freedom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We bless your name today, God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord, that even in this moment, there is an aroma that is going up to heaven. There is a scent that's coming from this place. Lord, we pray right now that Koinonia Church would be known in heaven as a church of prayer, as a church that's unwilling to let go of the rope of heaven. God, would you make us a people of prayer? Would you make us a people who are intercessors? Would you make us a people who are unashamed, God, in coming before you continually until we see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives? Lord, we just invite you. We invite you. And I just would say, just begin to invite the Lord to mess up your life for the purposes of prayer. God, would you readjust us? Would you sensitize us to your spirit? Would you soften our heart to be responsive? Lord, every place that we have ignored you, would you forgive us? Every area, God, where we have hardened our heart and we're walking in disobedience, would you forgive us, Lord, and would you help us walk according to your way? Jesus, I pray that even in these next 40 days, that we would be a people who you would just bother us until we respond to the call of prayer. Would you teach us, Lord, how to pray? Would you invite us, Lord, into your secret place? Show us great and mighty things that you want to do. Lord, I thank you for your plans and purposes that are present over every family that's represented here and every one that's in the sound of my voice, within the sound of my voice, Lord, I thank you that there is an inheritance for each and every one. There is a territory that you have set aside for them. I thank you, Lord, that even in heaven right now, there is freedom that you're declaring over people who are struggling with addictions. They're struggling with secret sins. They're struggling with things that they have not been able to overcome. And you, Lord, have in heaven victory. You have peace. You have goodness. You have the things that are needed today. We're reaching out for them right now. Churches, reach out for them. God, would you give us everything that you have? We don't want less than the fullness of what you have. Would you make us a church, Lord, that is so alive to you that we continually would live in prayer, that you would find here in this place, in this city, a church that's dedicated to offer an aroma, a fragrant incense to you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.